Good morning, saints. Let us pray. O God, our perfect provider, we welcome you into this space, your space, this morning. Send your Holy Spirit as we begin this service to stir our affection toward you. We ask that you would calm our racing minds with your peace, overwhelm our hearts with your love, and ready our hands for service with the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, as our example. In whose name we offer this prayer today, amen. Let us confess our sin before God and in the presence of one another, all together. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin, and whose mercy we forget, cleanse us from all offenses and deliver us out of our thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to thee, confessing our faults, confiding in thy grace, and finding in thee our refuge and our strength. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Let us once again bow our heads in prayer. Shame, being the voice that tells us we are not worthy to experience love and must hide from God, others, and even ourselves, has no place in our lives. Christ died for us and has pardoned us so that we may no longer suffer from shame. Embrace the free grace of God. Cast out shame and be reconciled to God, one another, and yourself. You are deeply loved and forever accepted. Amen. My brothers and sisters, please join me in singing the hymn, Rejoice the Lord is King, number 233 in your hymnal. That's number 233 in your hymnal.
Strengthen us all to be your people in the world and a blessing to the earth. Amen. Who presents this child to be baptized? Will you, as the parents and godparents of this child, be responsible for seeing that the child you present is brought up in the Christian faith and life? Will you, by your prayers and witness, help this child grow into the life of God's grace and love? Will you continue to honor your own spiritual journeys as role models for the child you present? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? To those of you who have gathered with us today, will you who witness these vows do all in your power to support the child in their life in Christ? Let us pray for this child who is to receive the sacrament of new birth.
Open his heart, O God, to your grace and truth.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Fill him with your holy and life-giving spirit.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Teach him to love others in the power of the Spirit.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Send him into the world in witness to your love.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Bless by your Holy Spirit, gracious God, this water. By the same Holy Spirit, save them who confess the name of Jesus Christ, that sin may have no power over them. Create new life in all who are baptized, that they may rise in Christ. Glory to you, eternal God, the one who was and is and shall always be, world without end.
Amen.
Hello, Benjamin Lee. How are you doing, my friend? It's so good to meet you. You say hello to everyone. Say hello to everyone.
Hello.
See, they're waving at you. I'm so glad to meet you. I've known your mom and daddy for a long time, since they were students. And you are so precious. And now it's my privilege, Benjamin Lee, that I'm going to baptize you into the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. You are sealed as Christ's own forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let us pray together. Eternal and living God, give that this child receiving the sacrament of baptism an inquiring, discerning heart, the courage to will and to persevere, and the spirit to know and to love you, and the gift of joy and wonder in all your works. Amen. Let us welcome the newly baptized.
We receive you with joy into the household of God and into the priesthood of all holy.
Benjamin, you are now a part of the household of God and the priesthood of all believers. This is your community. These people here that were waving at you, they are now your brothers and sisters in Christ. Why? Because Jesus taught us and Jesus told us. People will recognize you as my followers by the way that you love one another. So it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter your race or your ethnicity. Because we are all collective. We are collective community siblings under the parent just like your parents love you, just like your uncle and your grandparents here love you. You will now have a bigger family, an extended family, a family called the Household of Faith. And it's in that spirit, my friends, that we greet one another with the love and the peace of Christ. Wherever you are this morning, we ask that you would stand to your feet and that you would give somebody a handshake. You might give somebody a hug. If you have OCD, you can give an air fist bump. But the point is to let people know that you love them because God loves them. For how can we say that we love a God that we've never seen, but forget to say that we love the person who we see every day? So please stand to your feet and let's pass the peace of Christ away. I love you, Benjamin.
So many wonderful gifts to this community, particularly
to have him up in the men's church pulpit with us on this morning. Now it's time for us to worship God with the giving of our gifts. We collect money here. We collect money because it's your financial sacrifice that makes all of this possible. For us to have and to be a space of grace in the center of Harvard Yard, whether it's student programming, whether it's grief groups, fun outings, having a world-class university choir, having the best of Protestant preachers come in to stand in this pulpit and speak a word of truth, to power, and love. All of that's made possible by your gifts. But more importantly, we understand here at Memorial Church that we're called not just to be a space of grace in the center of Harvard Yard, but God has blessed us richly so that we can be a blessing outside of these gates. So really, to be honest with you, pretty much everything we collect on Sunday morning, we give away each year. We support, through our grants committee, over 50 social service providers in the greater Boston area. After-school tutoring programs, youth homeless shelters in Harvard Square, homes that provide free housing to mothers infected with the HIV virus and their children. We understand that there are people doing the heavy lifting out in our community. And so because God has richly blessed us, we want to be a blessing to them. And that's what we do with the gifts that we collect on Sunday morning. And so our student ushers are going to make their way down the aisle. You'll see some envelopes in your pews. We ask that you take one and fill it out. Let us know about you so that we can keep in contact with you. Now, if it's your first time visiting with us this Sunday, you just take that envelope, fill it out, and you know what? You don't even have to put anything in. Just put the envelope in the collection plate. The fact that you are here with us today, we consider that a generous gift. But if it's not your first time, why don't you consider putting something inside so that we can extend this space of grace to all of the places where God wants to show up? We are so thankful for each and every one of you. God bless you.
Eternal are thy mercies, from eternal to eternal forever. reading from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, beginning at the 11th verse. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses, and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Therefore, says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Here ends the lesson.
Reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 25, beginning at the 31st verse. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, you that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Here ends the lesson.
Will you pray with me this morning? Gracious God, to whom all honor is due, we pray today to give thanks for everything you have been, currently are, and will be to us. We come laying down the pride that we have earned anything on our own, and understand that everything good in our life is because of your grace. It is through your will and provision that we exist here today. The food that we eat, the jobs that we support ourselves with, the family we hold fast to, and the friends we enjoy are all gifts from you. Thank you for your gifts and blessings in our lives. We honestly pray, though, God, that sometimes it is hard to be thankful. We look around and see that the world is not as it should be, and our lives are often not as we wish. We pray this morning for the hungry and homeless, those with difficult work situations and unemployed, those with complicated or absent families, and the lonely. As a community, you call us to share our possessions and teach us to build an uplifting spiritual community. May we be that community. We long for the future, O God, when we can be thankful for the total fulfillment of your promises. The powerful of the world still play with our lives. They push us where they want us, shove us out, and design systems meant to benefit their own wants and desires, all at the expense of the weak and vulnerable they create. Allow your spirit to give us continued power to name those people and systems that perpetuate injustice, violence, and abuse around the world. Rescue us, your flock, O God, who eagerly await our shepherd Jesus Christ to make all things new through the power of your Holy Spirit. We are thankful this morning, God. Thankful for your promises that sustain us when the world seems too much. Thankful for your community when it functions as it ought to. And thankful for your gifts and blessings in our lives, especially your grace. Amen. Will you join in reciting the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Will you pray with me? God, let the words of my mouth
and the thoughts of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today, we mark the conclusion of the Christian year with the minimally celebrated and oft forgotten day of Christ the King. It is the last Sunday after Pentecost, also known as Christ the King Sunday, a church celebration that does occur annually, but occurs in the midst of the Feast of Thanksgiving and the rushed anticipation of Christmas. This seemingly dusty and imperialistic holiday, with its patriarchal and hegemonic language of Lord and King, might not lend itself to our attention as we begin to focus our hearts and our minds and our budgets on the splendor of Advent and Christmas. Christ the King Sunday, or the Sunday of Doom, as it is called in the Church of Sweden, is meant to remind us of Christ's authority and judgment over all. That the Son of Man has come to reconcile life's ledger. And as the Gospel of Matthew puts it, sending the righteous lambs to green pasture and the accursed goats into eternal fire. The present political scene across this country lends itself quite nicely to the critique of power. Despots reign over the amber waves of grain from sea to shining sea. The conscience of leaders continues to turn from God to mammon. Emperor Augustus has called upon the Quirinius of the nation to extract more cash from those at the bottom while saving the pennies of loan sharks. Fear-mongering Herod has become so caught up in his own false narrative that he permits the slaughtering of the innocents, though, at concerts and churches. When the Pontius Pilates of our time ask Jesus if he really is the King of the Jews, the crowd yells out, "Blood and soil." Judas is again plotting to sell out to big oil as he schemes to make money for himself. Perhaps, just maybe, we should give Christ the King Sunday a bit more of our attention, lest we fall prey to these oligarchs and tyrants. In thinking about potentates and presidents, I am reminded of the acclaimed children's book, The Little Prince, wherein the book's main character, the little prince, he leaves his planet out of a fit of loneliness. He travels to neighboring planets in search of a cure for his isolation. On the first asteroid or planet that he visits, he finds a power-obsessed king who is decked out in purple and whose own ermine coronation robe encompasses so much of the planet that the little prince cannot sit down. He asks to ask the king if he can just pull in a little bit of his robe to make room. The king's finery actually takes up the entire planet, leaving no room for anyone else on the planet, with the exception of maybe a rat. The absence of others on this planet greatly diminishes the king's responsibility and purpose, rendering him essentially powerless. So when the little prince shows up, the king becomes so enthralled with himself that he fails to see the little prince as a person. He immediately calls the little prince his subject, and then continues throughout this chapter by barking orders at the little prince The king failed to see beyond the utilitarian nature of his responsibilities as a ruler. And thus, relationships to the king were only transactional. He had no interest in getting to know the prince, but was instead fixated by the power he could expend because of the existence of the prince. Appreciation for the prince's inquisitiveness or for the prince's own desire to be known was not on the king's agenda. It was not even on the king's mind. The chapter ends as the little prince departs from the king, leaving them both with empty hearts, but leaving us with a gentle parallel between the despots of today and the lonely king on asteroid 325. Today, as we bring the Christian calendar to an end and prepare to kick off a new Christian year with the season of Advent, we must not forget that our King is both judge and the one who comforts. He is the one who has the whole world in his hand, yet abides down low with the least of these. The Son of Man certainly sits in the throne of glory and separates sheep from goats, but he's ascended to the throne by first being born into poverty and parented by low-waged workers with questionable citizenship. Christ the King rules all the nations with his scepter and his orb. Doing so, though, as he runs barefoot across the border under the cover of night, following his own star in the sky. Ruler of all, Jesus the Messiah makes his royal procession on the back of a borrowed donkey. A criminal who hangs from the cross gives the edict from the heavenly kingdom, which reads, "Love, love, love." And to quote the famed 17th century French preacher Bossuet, humility and faith are the only ornaments needed to decorate his temple. This is our King. This is our Anointed One. This is our Christ. And the one who commands everything from the stars and the sky to the beating of our own hearts. Christ is a king who sees us not as subjects, but as sacred resemblances. Jesus is the one who loves us so much that he is willing to do a lot more than pull in the hem of his robe. The Messiah's eternal mandate is love. Emmanuel, God with us, enters into the world not as a show of power, but as an exemplar of compassion. May we hem in our own ermine robes and shed our purple cloaks so that we can serve and see the least of these. The least of these who is the one true King, who will come to us yet again as a little prince crowned and in a cradle. And thus, by seeing and by serving, we ourselves become little Christs. Amen.
Please stand as you are able to sing the hymn, "Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence," hymn number 103, number 103.
Thank you.
Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage, hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the afflicted, and honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit.